Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, July 17th of 2023. And I can't believe July's over, halfway over now. What? Where did it go? Well, about 2 weeks of it was spent by me on vacation, but that doesn't mean that it should be going by any quicker. But that means that, you know, if you consider summer to be any time between Memorial Day and Labor Day, then it's basically half over now, just about. And so, don't know how I feel about that, but anyhow, they say life goes on, but anyhow, it's good to be with you here on July 17th, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. And I also have to tell you, this week, there's a couple certain school districts that I've heard of that start school this week. Can't believe it. Schools now starting school before July 20th. Doesn't bug me because it's my birthday. No. It's about, in my mind, school should not be starting during the month of July. Public school should not be starting during July. August, I get that. You know, and different regional desires and different regional needs and different regional customs and different regional things like that. And I feel like, and in that case, I feel like I need to respect that. And so I do respect it. But the starting in July, I mean, and last I checked, July was fully a summer month through and through. And to me, it is a summer month through and through. It really is. And but anyhow, just my little vent. It's good to be with you. And of course, yes, I did make it home from vacation safely. And as for which city was my favorite, I don't know. I mean. All the different cities that I've been, you know, in Tennessee that I went to between Gatlinburg, Chattanooga, and Nashville, you know, they all have their very own unique characteristics. I would say even Pigeon Forge has its own characteristics, to be honest with you. A lot of these different places that you'll go to, even different places here in my state where I live have different characteristics. And isn't that the truth of it? Just about anywhere you could go, the different towns are going to have their own different characteristics, huh? Just about anywhere you could go.
True.
Yep. Just about anywhere you could go, literally. The different towns and cities are going to have their own different, unique characteristics. And by the way, I'm not just talking about names. I'm not just talking about because it has a different name. No, it's going to feel different, you know? But anyhow, and which one you would like more depends on what you're into, honestly. And, Gatlinburg was great, like, for the mountains and stuff, but as far as the city goes, you know, Gatlinburg did not have the southern accents that I was expecting it to. It was loaded with people from all over the place. I feel like even amongst the local, I mean, I feel like even a lot of the people who are working there are from other places. Do you bet a lot more people come in just to work the summer in a place like Gatlinburg?
I do.
Do you bet if I snuck down there in the winter, it would be a lot more localized?
I do.
Are you just guessing, or have you heard that that's how it is down there in the winter?
For the most part, I'm just guessing because I haven't been there down myself to hear.
But you wouldn't be surprised if in the dead of winter, you know, if it was more so just locals.
Right.
And those would be the people that I'd want to stay there year-round. And if I knew who the manager was were at some of these places and I was in them, I'd almost be that guy to be like, okay, can I order from the actual manager?
Exactly.
Because then that way you hear all the southern accents.
Right.
Because honestly, that's part of what I go down there for is all these cool southern accents. And because you got a fever. They say you got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell. To a degree, sure, but I would also say needs more southern accent.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, you know, and all that,
and more East Coast, West Coast. I don't know about all that. And even Cincinnati, they say that that's actually supposed to be a New Jersey accent. You heard that too? That Cincinnati accent is actually more of a New Jersey accent.
Really? I hadn't heard that, but that's an interesting way to think about it.
Because you thought it was kind of a weird mix. For some reason, you felt like it was a weird mix of down south and east.
Yeah.
Because you felt like it was like a different mix. Like a little bit of southern, but a little bit of east too. You know who else has some pretty good accents, though? It's far south Indiana.
That's true.
But the weird thing with that, the thing I struggle with that, because is that to me, Indiana is not a southern state anywhere. It's not. Don't you agree? To you, it's not. Indiana is not a southern state, even down at the bottom.
Right.
Whereas Kentucky is one, even in the top. And then, of course, you've got that little Boone County. Have you ever heard that joke that Boone County could be its own state?
I have heard that.
And even though politically it tends to vote a certain way, there's other areas in which they'll say it's totally a mix of South and North put together. So it'd be very much a battleground state except for voting. Is that a good way to put it?
I think that's a very valid way to put it.
Is that it's a battleground of all battlegrounds? Is Boone County? Including the Florence Y'all sign. You've seen that tower, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've been in the mall that bears that sign.
No way.
It used to have a McDonald's in it.
Really?
Sadly, they took it out months after we lost ours, about 10 months later. But as they say, all good things on earth must come to an end. Yeah, but you know what never ends though, folks? The kingdom of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God will never end. I'm trying to find verses where it says, oh, but then after this amount of time, the whole kingdom of God ends. I can't find them. You know why? Because it never ends. But anyhow, my birthday is this week, and so that's going to be a great thing. Obviously, as I approach my birthday, I think of this. I was not supposed to still be on this earth. I hope you listeners of my show realize that. Technically, according to the natural, according to reports of doctors, I am not supposed to still be here based on what doctors said when I was very little. They said that I would not carry myself past the age of 8. They said that I would die by the age of 12. They said that I was profoundly mentally just that I wouldn't be able to really do good at all in school. know,
you proved them
like
wrong
that.
And I proved
them wrong on that. Because there's a certain R word that I didn't want to use, so that's why I just kind of left it at that. So, but I proved them wrong, and I know not only that, the devil lost. And, you know, the devil lost, God won, I'm still alive, and the longer the Lord tarries, the more damage I plan to do to the devil's kingdom.
Amen.
To charge hell with a water pistol. And by the way, I don't get why it has to be a water pistol. Apple used to have an emoji that was a pistol. But they decided to go what I like to call the woke route and changed it to a water pistol instead of a pistol. So why, Jade, do they say a water pistol instead of a pistol?
I think because of the concept of fire, and a water pistol would quench a fire, put out a fire.
So it's not like to sound like to try to edit anything or anything like that.
No, it's the concept of water being able to put out a fire. So like bring a super soaker down and shoot them. Boom, boom, get all the fire out.
So in that case, charge it with a regular pistol would be more of an edit than the water pistol, if you know what I mean, in that context, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess it would be an edit, but...
So, water pistol. So, Lord Jerry's plan to keep charging hell with a water pistol.
And maybe it has to do with, like, a water pistol uses water, and, like, Jesus and the word is the water of life, you know? So maybe that's kind of why they use it. You need Jesus and the word to put out the fires of sin in your life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what
it's about. But nonetheless, you know, as you go through the next couple of days, and I'll try to share a little bits and pieces of my testimony with you guys, because it's a great testimony, and it's one that you know is part of. Great reason to read my book, because you get some of it there. I'm not going to give away every little piece and detail of my testimony. There might be things, you know, I'm sure there are little bits and pieces that I don't even, you know about or understand and things like that, you know. But, you know, there are certain things that, you know, that I think about. Like, I think of, you know, last week I was just down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I still remember to this day, now when I came to, I did not, from a certain surgery, I did not know that my heart had stopped. I found out years later. But here's what I can recall. I can recall getting ready for a surgery. This surgery would end up being like 18, 19 hours or so. And I still to this day recall telling my mother, you know what, Mom? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay, Mom. And you know what? God assured me that I'll get to see you again. And the angels are going back into that operating room with me. These angels are going back in there to the operating room with me. And therefore, I don't need to be afraid. That was what I was saying. I don't need to be afraid. I was saying that I do not need to be afraid. I personally don't need to be afraid, but I'm not going to be afraid. But nonetheless, let me see. Let me see here. What is all this? But, you know, God is on my side, and there was no need to be afraid. And I never had anything in me that was like, I feel like something bad could happen back then. No, I trusted in God. And what we have to do as we go through life is trusting God, even when it feels so difficult. So, I don't mean the trusting God. I mean the idea of what you're going through could be very difficult. And sometimes, as you go through this life, you might have to go through some extremely difficult things. Some extremely difficult things, like things that you might not understand. You might not understand how to do it. You might not understand, you know, different things. But you know, God is fighting for us. He's pushing back the darkness. He's lighting up his kingdom that can never be shaken. His kingdom can never, because his kingdom can never be shaken. And, the enemy's defeated. And we just put our trust in the Lord, knowing that he is on our side, making a way, even when it seems like there is no other way that we could do it. But he has his hand upon us. But, you know, that's one thing that I was just reminiscing about my story. And so that was one of the times that the spirit of death tried to take me out, because when certain things happen, like your heart stops or something, that spirit of death can come and they can want to just take you right up, right there. But and whenever I said, you know, anything about a spirit of death being on me, it wasn't like me trying to take me out. No, it was, you know, because of all the different, you know, surgery and that my heart just stopped. It was like, but you know what? My heart came back on, and they continued on with the surgery. The surgery was finished. God, and God used those doctors. God used those doctors. And honestly, I don't know if I told you guys last week on one of the two shows that I did, but the lady who helped start the Ronald McDonald House there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, led it for 32 years last year, gave the reins over to someone else. But, her own daughter had died at the age of 9 of leukemia. But, and then she said that, God used her to start that house. To start the Ronald McDonald House of Chattanooga. And that house is still there to this day, and it's still, we're still thankful to God that we were able to go there, and it was great. My mom admitted to me that that lady, Jane Kaler, that she knew Jesus and loved him and was spiritual and all that stuff, and she honestly believed in the healing power of God, which I think is great to see. When you are the manager of a Ronald McDonald House, they're in a healthcare setting, being able to admit that she honestly believed in the healing power of Jesus Christ, who does heal, and so it was great to see God work through all that, I do want to remind you about a couple of quick things that I always try to remind you about, as it relates to, number one thing I want to remind you about, if you would please is about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how, you know, God has been so great to me and how his hand was always there for me and how he was just always there by my side. And I just knew that he was always there for me, and I never had to feel like I was alone. But you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about how you can get the book into your hands and how it can be a blessing to you. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out how it can be a blessing into your life, if you would. And you can go online there and buy the book, if you would, please, and just let it be, as I said, let it be a blessing into your life. I'm honestly, I'm believing for God to bless you. I really am. And so I just know that his hand is there upon you, and that his plans, you know, are for your good. And that's something that we can be, we can honestly be assured of that. So I thank God for that. And so the other thing I want to remind you about real quick is about the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And I want you to know, when you sow a seed, I pray over that seed. When I get notification that seed's been sown, by the way, I want to thank you, Natalia, from Honduras, as well as Laura from here in Central Michigan. I do want to thank you both for, sowing your seed into the program. I really do. And I'm just thankful to God for that. And so, don't know why someone's going through all this stuff in my house, but they are. But nonetheless, you can go online to PayPal. In the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind, if you would please, is that the first R in Rivers is capitalized. And then also the S in Shukla is also capitalized. And then also there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. And I did want you to be made aware of that. I really did. And so where was that? And then, where's that? And then
Miss Cookie's here.
Jade, what are you doing in there?
Sorry, I didn't know you could hear me.
What is all that, Jade? What is it?
I'm just covering up a dish I made, sorry.
What is it?
Trip right off that.
Oh. But anyhow, just wanted to let you know how you could sow seed into the program, Rivers of Miracles. And I do thank the Lord for when you sow your seed, as it really is a blessing when you do that. Okay. It really is. And then, so, and then, you know, I want to give you a verse. You know, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Didn't say tithe, and it shall be given unto you. Did not say pray. Didn't say fast. Didn't say, no. Said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For what with whatsoever measure you give, it will be given unto you. And also, God loves a sad giver. I don't know what that. Oh, sorry. I mean, God loves a cheerful giver, not one who's sad, not one who just gives out of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And get God off your hit list. If you have a hit list, take God off it. Because God wants to bless you. He's not out to curse you. He loves you. If you're going according to the ways of God, he loves you. He wants to bless you. Oh, he just wants my money. No, I want you to get blessed. I'm believing for God to bless you. And, you know, when you sow your seed, it's always great to either write down or at least have in your mind, what is it that you're believing for God to do on your behalf? What is it that you're believing for God to do? What is it? You know, you believe in God for your marriage to get right. You know, you believe in God for children. You believe in God to do things in your children. You believe in God for healing in your body. What is it that you believe in God for? And have that in your mind. What it is that you believe in for God to do on your behalf. And because, as you see, it doesn't always have to deal with money. No, it doesn't. And so, I do want to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord. And tonight I'm going to talk about, you know, that day of Pentecost and what on earth happened. What did it lead to? And so we're going to talk about that tonight. And how does it compare, you know, what does that have to do with, you know, today? And so I'm going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord and we'll see what God has for us for tonight. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way. When there was no way, and I believe, I'll see you do it again. I see you move, you move the mountains, and I believe, I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe, I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I never will forget. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You are love. Every heart, you bring light to the dark. Righteousness you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you are to us. Thank you that it is your breath in our lungs. It's not someone else's breath. It's not our own. It's your breath that's in our lungs. Thank you, Master, that you are with us. You are Emmanuel. You are the great I Am. Thank you, Master, for that you use this program. Thank you for every listener who tunes into this program tonight, everyone that hears this broadcast. Thank you, Lord God, that every listener that hears this broadcast will be changed tonight through you. Thank you that you know, Lord God, what it is that they have need of, even when I don't. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you do know what they have need of tonight. And I thank you that you're healing their bodies, you're healing their mind, you're strengthening their bodies, Lord God, and that you're just, you know, you bring life to the darkness. You bring life to every situation that these people face. And I thank you for that, Lord, and for what you're doing in the lives of these people. For the lives of these people tonight, Master. And thank you, Master, for that and for what you're about to do, for what you've already started. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program. I thank you that finances come into this program. thank you that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Acts 2. You know, I got an old joke for you. I've used it before, but honestly, I think it's funny. That's why I love to use it. There are two sounds that a pastor loves to hear. Cookie, you might remember this. Pages turning. What's the other one? Checks being what?
Torn out of
checkbooks. Pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. But of course, nowadays, so many people just give via the plastic. And of course, and also the other thing about that is nowadays, a lot of people, you know, just use, you know, the Bible app. You know, it's great, but, you know, if you're going to use the phone in church, you know, during the service, don't be using it to do your grocery list. Don't be doing that kind of stuff when the word's being preached. Amen. So study the Bible with us, and whatever you do, whatever I do here where I'm at, you do where you are. I do what I, whatever I do, you do. Amen. So open it up and study with me. I'm going to begin with verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. I'm going to begin here with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Not just a couple of certain rooms, not just the sanctuary. Amen. I've teased before about this before, not on the show necessarily, but I've teased before and said that it filled the bathroom, only the bathroom. What? No, that's not what it says. It wasn't just the nursery. It wasn't just the audio tech booth. Oh, wait, back then they didn't have audio tech booth. But nonetheless, the parking lot, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Emiliates, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Phoenicia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, parentheses, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much to drink. They've had too much wine to drink. Verse 14. Now here's what Peter has to say about all this stuff. About this tongue thing. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, how many of you know we're in the last of the last days right now? Yep, we're in the last of the last days. We are in the last of the last of the last of the last days. We're getting closer every minute. And I know we've heard it's the last days for a while now, and it can sound cliche. No, we've never been closer. We've never been closer. Not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this is God speaking. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, capital S, in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. And you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold upon him. David said about him, I saw the Lord already before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me by the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned by the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted by the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And David did not ascend to heaven. And yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured. Be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you promised, both Lord and Christ. What is it, Jay? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord, the God, will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as much as he had need. Every day, turning the page, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then, there's another verse where it says, therefore you shall receive power. Fire, power, after which the Holy Spirit has came upon you. And it says, you know, signs and wonders shall be done. Signs and wonders shall be done. And people will be healed and delivered and set free. And he said that that's what would happen. You would receive power, fire, power. Not the fire power that comes from a vehicle, horsepower. No, this is a different kind of power. This is talking about the power of the Almighty God, the power that saves, the power that delivers people, the power that wants to heal you, the power of God that flows out from among us. And, You know, and he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all men. And I've heard, you know, from back during the COVID thing, I've heard of that whole thing of, maybe, that when they waited for the 10 days for the day of Pentecost to come, maybe someone weren't sure how long they'd have to wait. One day, that's fine. 2 days, that's fine. 3 days, that's all right. Oh, 6 days, okay. 8 days, all right. 9 days, But 10 days, some of these people were like, no, I got to go home. I got to get this stuff. You know, after all, my daughter needs a camel that can give me 18 miles a day. The camel I have right now only gives me like 9 miles a day, but I got to go to the camel dealer today, because if I don't go there today, I won't be able to get the camel I need for 6 months. Thankfully, that's not how it went. but also, during COVID, I also heard, maybe there would have been thousands of people there, but there was another pandemic. No, that's not how it went. On the day of COVID, it could have been, maybe something like this. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one, they were all gathered, and they had received the orders from the local health officials doing science calculations, and they were all gathered together with face diapers upon their faces, and they, oh, I'm so glad that's not how it reads. When they were all together, gathered together in one place, and the sound that came like that of a mighty blowing, rushing wind came and filled the whole place where they were sitting. Not a little whimper, not a little, gentle, soft, soft southern wind. Not one of these nice breezes, that can cool you off on a nice sunny summer day when you're out there sitting, when you're out there sitting outside drinking the Miracle Man's drink of choice, a nice cold Coca-Cola, or be by the pool or on the beach or whatever you do. No. Mighty rushing wind came, filled the whole house where they were sitting. No, this doesn't mean that suddenly there'll be tons of wind coming through the air vents at your church. Mom, and you need not complain in the church when it gets cold. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit comes through that. Wait, oh, that's just air conditioning. Do you think there were people?
She's outside.
Do you think there were people in that upper room when that one was blowing that were sitting there screaming, "Ah, it's cold! It's cold! It's cold!" No. Tongues came to rest on each one of them, and they started speaking in tongues. They started praying in the Holy Ghost. That was when tongues started. Speaking in tongues started. And so many people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they tend to pray in tongues and it's called the heavenly language. And so that's what this is. They were speaking in tongues. But some of these people were sitting there all, probably maybe some of these Pharisees, these Sadducees. Oh my goodness, the Sadducees, they are so sad, you see. These Sadducees, they're just sad. And I just,
Sadducees?
Not you. I'm talking about the Sadducees. But they're so Sadducee, and they always have something negative to say. They always have something negative to say. These Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of the law. And some of them are sitting there screaming, and they're like, these people who are sitting there praying in tongues, they're drunk. They're drunk. You know, Peter basically says, listen up, listen carefully. Shh. Pay attention. As we would say, you know. And then says it multiple times. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's 9 a.m. and they're speaking in tongues in the Holy Ghost. Take note of this, folks. It was at 9 a.m. It was at 9 a.m. when the Holy Spirit was moving. 9 a.m. Some of you folks struggled to get to your church that starts at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Folks, some of you, your church could start at 11, 12 noon, or 1 p.m., and you still find a reason to come late. And have it be instead of the saints come marching in, instead it's the saints come dragging in. And so, but you get the picture. But it was 9 a.m. These people were there, and the Pentecost arrived, and these people were speaking in tongues, folks. And that was like a revival. And what happens in revival? Oh yeah, people get on fire for God, But some of you may wonder, how does revival start? Revival starts within us. It doesn't start when just because the pastor stands in the pulpit of the local church and says, God, bring revival to my church family. Bring revival to the city in the name of Jesus. It's great when a pastor does do that. But here's what needs to happen. Revival starts in each one of us at a personal level. It's at a personal level. And when, we want revival in our churches, then all of us have to be seeking God at that personal level and all be hungry and wishing for him to move and not be all concerned about, what time is it, not be looking at our watch, not be looking at this and that, the other thing, making a grocery list on our phone during the church service and all this other stuff. The Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all men. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men, we could also say, that can also be female. Your young will see visions. Your old will dream dreams. Note, it did not give an age limit for what young was and what old was. So some of you may say young is up to age 30. Some of you might say maybe 40. Some of you might say, it never said middle age. So, but it also doesn't mean that middle age are left out. Nope, they're in there. Nonetheless, folks, what are you doing? Stop calling my stuff. Let me think here. Why are you going through my stuff? But yeah, that's the way revival starts, is when we all seek him individually. And then people have to give their lives to Jesus. And, you know, and I believe in God for more souls to come into the kingdom of God. And I believe we're going to see it. People are hungry. People are hungry. People really are hungry. They're looking for hope. And, you know, Jesus is the hope. And when you listen to when you watch the news, trying to think of how much hope there is. There's not that much. And they say, you know, this and that about the planet and that. And you hear this, and you hear all this stuff from, you know, all the time about, oh, we need to save the planet so it's here for our grandchildren, you know, for our children, for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-great-great-grandchildren and all that, kind of stuff. Here's what about the planet. God is going to destroy this planet. God is going to destroy this planet. Yeah, he is. There's nothing you can do to save it from it. He's going to destroy it. He's going to destroy it, whether you like it or not. And there's nothing you can do to save the planet from it. And I see, you know, try to be good stewards of the earth that God gave us and that, you know. But the earth wasn't designed to run out of anything. It was not designed to run out of food. The earth was not designed to run out of water. The earth was not designed to run out of oil. Did you know that? There is still oil. There is still oil. So this idea where they say, oh, we'll run out of oil in 20 years. We'll run out of oil in 50 years if we keep burning fossil fuels. Oh, the fossil fuels. Stop burning the fossil. Last I checked, Mom, didn't God give us those fossil fuels for a reason? Didn't God give us these fossil fuels for a reason? Didn't he? I think he did.
Yes, Rivers, he did. Hallelujah.
He did. So this idea, you know, that of these electric cars and all that. But about that, where's that battery going to go when it expires? Where's it going to go? Got to go somewhere. What? It's going to go in the environment, and it's going to do damage in the environment. So that being said, you know, I don't mean this to be an environmental class at all. No. I'm just saying that God did not make the earth to run out of anything. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure there's things, you know, you can do to be good stewards of the earth. But God's going to destroy it. We are in the last of the last days. I don't know how much time we have left. You say, how can you say we don't know how much time we have left? Well, here's how I can say we don't know. Jesus said in the Bible, look it up in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. Jesus said, you will not know the day or the hour. You will not know the day or the hour. He gave clues. He did give some clues, though, as to what we would see. You know, you'll see famines in various places. Yup. You'll see earthquakes in various places. Yup. You'll see pestilences. Yup. There can even be weather, you know, you'll see different, you know, weathers going on. Yup, we have that. We have all kinds of, we have different weather extremes taking place. And I don't believe that so-called man-made climate change. I think it's the sign of the times. I think it has to do with these, climate. Thing. So when people complain about, about, oh, the temperatures are so high because of this, climate change and what have you, I wish people would just say, when they see this weather stuff. Mom, I wish people, when they would see this weather stuff, that they would realize, oh, last days, not so-called man-made climate change, but last days. Because we'll see, you know, certain things in the last days, and we do. So we know it's close. It really is. So we're getting closer and closer. But I'm believing God to take people to heaven with us, with me. I'm believing God to take people to heaven with me. And you know, folks, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. You cannot take your car with you to heaven. Your sports car, your other kind of car, this car, that thing, this other thing. No, you can't take it with you to heaven. But you can take people with you to heaven. Why am I hearing all kinds of garbage bags?
What?
Why am I hearing all kinds of garbage bags?
It's not garbage bags.
What is it?
Praise God. Ruby, it's the invasion kids' foods.
Why did you load it into my freezer?
I love what you're preaching.
Why did you load it into my freezer?
Because they're going to be cooking for you. They're cooking you food.
But what did you load up my freezer? There will be no room in it. Thank you, Jesus, that you use it. But anyhow, you know, these people, you know, you can only take people with you to heaven. You can't take cars. You can't take your animals. You can't take, you know, all this other stuff. But, you know, there will be people. You can take people with you. You can take people with you, and that's what he wants to do, is to take people. He wants us to take people with. And that's what he's going to do. It is what he's going to do. And I thank him for that. And for what he's doing on our behalf. And I know that his hand is upon us for such a time as this. Lord God, I thank you for all these listeners that are tuned in. I thank you, Lord God, that they're not filled with your spirit, that you would fill them right now with your spirit, and that they would have the evidence speaking in tongues. You see, when you hear something like that, that's called speaking in tongues. And at first, I'm sure when you first start to teach in tongues, to speak in tongues, it could sound like and things like that. And when you hear this idea of, well, it could sound like baby talk. Maybe it sounds like it at first, at least. But you know what it is it's speaking in praying in tongues, in the heavenly language, And hopefully, when it's done, hopefully the result of the praying in tongues is not, I want this kind of French toast and these kind of pancakes, and this is what I want for breakfast. Hopefully when you speak in tongues, you're not praying French toast prayers. Hopefully you are not praying French toast prayers, because you know, those, you know, might wouldn't mean anything. But I also feel, you know, we build ourselves up by praying in the heavenly language. We build ourselves up when we pray in the heavenly language. We do. And the Bible doesn't say, you know, you have to speak in tongues in order to make heaven. But it does say you have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to make heaven. And yes, it's true. It's what the Word of God says. It's absolutely what the Bible says. And I pray that these you people who do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior would accept him as your Lord and Savior right now in the name of Jesus. And now, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And until next time, God first and God always. So long, and I will see you all next time.